I don't want the colostomy bag if I don't need it. You see where I'm going with this, guys?
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk Spanish. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast. Yeah.
Yes, I have a steampunk analyzer. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Deranged Penguin podcast.
What?
Welcome.
What is that?
After a delay of 5 months. And we're going to go ahead and blame...
That's a sabbatical, right?
Yeah, let's blame Brad. Fucking Brad.
It's totally Brad's fault. I think Brad's fault.
All right, so let's reorient everybody. Thanks for gathering here today for the all-hands meeting. This is Deranged Penguin podcast. It is a podcast that has its origins back in Denton. Back when podcasts are new and fun. Now that everyone has...
A Denton?
Yeah, everyone has a podcast. Like, I mean, literally everybody. They have a podcast. It is the new blog. We want to thank you for sticking with this show, if you're a longtime listener. Or for taking some time out from whatever it is that you listen to now. You know, Martha Stewart's podcast, Bill Simmons' podcast, NPR's podcast that are really just the radio shows in podcast form. You know, whatever in the hell that it is that you listen to, thanks for not listening to that and listening to us, the smooth tones of the Deranged Penguin podcast. Gina, give me a smooth tone. Give me E-flat. Ready, go. Doug, give me E-flat. Ready, go. I don't know that's an E-flat. I can't really tell. I know it's what, That's the relative thing.
Flat compared to what, Tina? In your brain?
What is it? Yes. What is it? Take my love and take it down. What is it called? What's that song?
Landslide.
Landslide.
That's a G.
It's an E flat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. God. Didn't you spend $48,000 million on learning how to sing an E flat?
I can sing an E flat because I know where G is, and I can sing an E flat against G because I know how to do that because I went to school for 25 years for that. Be able to do this parlor trick right now. Aren't you proud of me?
I'm glad he's finally speaking in his normal voice.
Yeah, by the way, Dell has like an auto-tune thing. He gives himself a little bass there. That's how we met him. That's
turned it back on.
This podcast has its origins in the great Texas town of Denton, which is Austin before it was gentrified and West Coastified and monetized.
Where I will be this weekend.
There you go. And Denton is a cool-ass town. We met Dell when he was hitting on our friend. And we were playing board games. And me being the kind-hearted dude
all
I am.
All those years ago.
We invited him the next time. We became good friends.
How
we
long ago was this now?
20,000 years.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. It was the formation. It was like the formation of the earth. And there we were playing board games. It's been a while now. Known this guy forever, but Dell's been a good friend. The name of this podcast is based on Werner Herzog's line in the documentary, something about Antarctica, when he said the Deranged Penguin will go off into the mountains. And I was like, dude, you got to name your band that, or I'm going to name my next podcast that. And Dell's like, yeah, sure, man. And then he didn't name his band that. I think it was what, Power Man 5000 is what you named it.
5001.
Yeah. Increments, yeah. So then, true to my word, I'm a man of my word. I took the name, and that's this podcast. And again, this is back when podcasts weren't really a thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Was I ahead of the game?
We're cool. We're cool before cool was cool.
Yeah, you can ask Gina. I had Uber before Uber was Uber, and also I didn't have technology. I gave the first ride that via internet.
That just means you just drove around.
He gave someone a ride. And
demanded money. From
he gave someone a ride. Give me your,
now you give me money. Now you give me money.
You did that to me one time. Yeah, like, hey, I'll give you a ride. I'll give you a ride home. And then I got you know, that's going to be $10, dude.
Also, if,
there's
a sheet of paper back there. If you could mark on a scale of 1 to 10 how your ride was, please, thanks.
I was really confused why you made me sit in the back seat.
Yeah, so that is the origin of this podcast. And it's gone through a bunch of iterations. You can listen to the early episodes. They're still up. And you'll see how terrible we were and how much we've improved over time. You don't really have to do that.
Don't say that.
I mean, because you may not actually see that.
This is the improvement.
I just kind of, you're just like, like nobody's going to do that, right? I don't know. When you guys listen to the NPR, do you go back through the archives and listen to episode one? Nobody does that.
Never.
Right? I go reverse order.
Yeah. Well, in that way, things will get better nationally. Like, all of a sudden, Donald Trump won't be president. Barack Obama will be president for 8 years.
That's a good crazy idea.
We'll get out. We'll get out of the Afghan war. You know,
I think that's my biggest surprise in recording today. Yes. From 5 months Donald ago, Trump I would have thought you would have thought he would be gone.
Yes, Donald Trump is still president. That means, I mean, you know, I guess nothing for Dell since Dell's a white, but something for us. I think Dell's like, huge. Oh, Trump's still president? It hadn't affect me, no, not really. Whatever,
man. I'm a poor white boy, though, so sure, it does affect me. I just choose to ignore it. That's yeah, the thing, man. Right?
Well, what was it? Look, true story. We drove through Alabama. And Gina got a speeding ticket, right? We're not going very fast, whatever, got a speeding ticket. We're in Denton. Gina's driving again. Dell was in the back seat. We got pulled over. Cop looks at us. He looks at Dell. And he asks Dell if everything's all right.
That is a true thing that happened. That was pretty mind-blowing.
Dell's like, huh? Yeah, everything's fine. Dell was drunk as shit, too.
I was drunk as hell. I was the least sober person in the interview.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
He's cleared to go.
He gave the secret white man signal. We got it. Was fine. Like, you
didn't catch it, right?
I didn't. Didn't catch it.
You can't. So you can't see it if you're not white. It's like you're blind. To it. Like I knew it. Yeah, can't even see it. It's
secret, like secret old signal. Shit. Yeah. So yeah, that's what happened there. So yeah, Donald Trump's still president. I don't know. He might get impeached. Nothing might happen. Everybody's he might take over the world. Who knows, time. Man? Who even knows, man? But other things have happened. So, Del, you own a coffee shop. You want to plug that?
I do. It's Lee's Coffee and Tea in Laurel, Mississippi, and it's the best coffee you can get in Mississippi, for sure.
Sounds like it might be the only coffee you can get in Mississippi.
Unequivocally.
I've been to Mississippi, and I think they just got electricity there. I cannot be sure.
Speaking of IHOP, we did win first runner-up to the best coffee in Jones County. We got second place to McDonald's.
Really?
So I consider that a win. Well, to me, that's
what McDonald's is a great cup of coffee.
Yeah, McDougal's does got a nice cup of Joe, I got to say. I'm not a fan of like fast food.
Well,
but
how many other people were you up against?
Yeah,
there are three coffee actual makers. Coffee shops in Laurel.
So you got you got two of three.
No, there are three. No, I'm talking about like they build themselves as we're a coffee shop. McDonald's is a restaurant.
Right.
So you have McDonald's, these three coffee shops.
Hey, they got McCafe.
Waffle House, IHOP, you know, there's Nemo's Italian restaurant that does espresso. So, but yeah, the McCafe stuff, it's amazing. Super high quality. Super high quality.
So second place out of maybe 10 more?
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
It could have been worse. You could have got 10 out of 10, right?
It could have.
Good job, Dell.
Thank you.
Let's give him a round of applause.
Way to stuff the ballots.
Yeah. Stand up wherever you are in your cubicle.
I didn't even know we were nominated until...
How does that work, by the way?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Mystery nomination?
So humble.
It was the local newspaper. The local newspaper. So it is all the olds. as Adam likes to say.
Some old guy that makes the rounds. Yeah.
Who, and you know, so McDonald's, I still like my McDonald's. McDonald's does now. They know McDonald's, at least in Mississippi, is a thing. Like, old people gather to have breakfast and coffee at McDonald's, and they sit there for like 4 hours. That's what they do.
That's their coffee.
They do it
shop.
In Hattiesburg. They do it in, they do it, yeah, because it's a great coffee shop, obviously. Obviously.
Well, they got the number one coffee in Jones County. I don't know if you heard that, Gina.
But I have had, so we have this, I don't know if y'all know, but there's a TV show on HGTV based on the town that I live in. And it's called Hometown.
Before we carry on here, there's a TV show based on Waco, you know, and I've been to Waco. Ain't much going on in Waco, but I guess like sexual assault by the Baylor football team and building homes. That's it. Those are the two things that happened.
Basically the spiritual successor to that show. Yeah, right. Essentially. Yeah. Same concept, new people. Right. But it's crazy because the tourism is nuts. Like every day, like today I had people from Illinois, from Virginia, from Panama City. I have people from Canada, Portland, India, Australia, like all the time, like coming in my restaurant. And people come in. Yeah. But these people come in and they're like blown away by the call. Yeah. It sounded totally Australian. I thought you were. I was like, Adam, you never told me you were from Australia.
Sweet.
But they come in and they are blown away by the coffee we serve. And it may be because their expectations are so low, you know?
Yeah.
But
like, this coffee is going to suck. Hey, it's not bad. It's like that.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this is actually pretty good, you know?
That's not bad.
That's
but I have had a couple people come in from like Birmingham and some other places that they'll come in and see that we carry black and white coffee or cartel coffee, and they're like, why do you know that this, why do you carry this, you know? So that feels good. It's been cool, but the restaurant aspect of it consumes way too much of my life, and I hate that because I just want to do coffee and beer.
Y'all's food menu looks pretty legit from what I've seen.
It's good. It's so the best, our top sellers are actually my great aunt's recipes, and people will like try our pimento cheese, which I don't know if anybody outside the South even knows what pimento cheese is, but
sounds made up. But you keep going.
Yeah, it's good. I don't like pimento cheese, and I eat that. So
yeah, they have that I think on the like starter menu at one of those new fancy restaurants around here, and I'm not that big a fan. I mean, it's not nasty. It just isn't.
It's cheese.
Meh. It's fine.
Is it cheese? Cheese and mayonnaise and peppers.
That sounds like leftovers in the fridge. It's like, what?
But
I gotta go to the market, Jim. It's like, just give me whatever you got in there. And it's like, oh well, cheese and mayo and peppers. This is what you're gonna get.
I have no doubt that it became a thing during the Great Depression. If I had to guess.
I don't know that they could afford cheese in the Great Depression. I think it was found dirt cheese. It was like dirt. Yeah.
Found cheese.
Dirt. Found cheese.
Yeah, it was the milk that
put the mayonnaise on it to mask the flavor of the cheese.
Of where you found it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, all right. Well, that's good. How are you in a band now? Like, all right, come on. Let me, here's how I imagine it.
You've been in bands before.
Yeah. So was he like handing out? He's like, hey, this is the second best coffee in Jones County. Let me tell you what. And then he's handing that out. And then someone's like, hey, you know, we could use a picker on our band. And we're touring through. Yeah. And the man that knows his coffee, too. And then Dale's like, well, then I'm your man. And then Dale jumped in. And then he's, you know, he's playing. Bing, get the game, get the game, get the game, get the game. Boom, boom. Is that what happened?
Pretty much. No, actually,
it was a coffee pot.
Yeah, in a actually, my degree in music actually paid off in some way because I was hanging out at the local brewery.
Can I pause you there?
And
no.
Does your degree say just music on it?
Music. Music. That's all it says. It doesn't even say whether it's a BA or BS or an MM or anything. It just says.
Just has a note.
Dale Smith has the degree of music.
And a quarter note on it. All right, cool.
Yeah, all right, in a corner. So I met a guy, and he's, you know, asking what I do, and I told him I majored in music theory and played in a funk band in Denton, whatever, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to put a funk band together. So I started playing with this dude, and it's fun, but it's kind of like just a for fun thing, just like getting together and playing, similar to what the Denton gig was. And then through that, these guys in this other band saw me play a few times, and I guess they liked what they saw, you know, my golden locks or the way I smile, tickle the ivories or whatever. Invited me to come practice with them, and so I went and practiced with them, and immediately that night they were like, hey, we're recording an album in 2 weeks. Well, 3 weeks, but Christmas was one of the weeks. Do you want to come to New Orleans and record an album with us? I was like, okay.
You know, I'll do go. I?
Like that. Is that what you said?
Gosh darn it. I don't know how to talk Southern country, man. So it's not in my blood.
You just talk the way you talk now. That's how you sound. I don't know if you know that. That's what you sound like when you talk.
Hot diggity. So, I love podcasting.
Right. I went to New Orleans. We spent 5 days down there recording an album, and it just clicked. Like, it just was real natural. It was like the music I've always wanted to make. I was finally with a group of people who made it, and very talented musicians, and the lead dude is very driven and wants to make a career of it, and so he's really into like getting gigs for us. And so, you know, we played all over Mississippi, all over Alabama, and we're getting ready to release an album. And I've shown music. I've let friends listen to music who are super critical, like real, like I know that they're going to tell me that it's shit if they don't like it. And all I've heard from anybody is this is actually really good, and I think you could do that. Y'all could make it with this stuff. So it's really exciting. It's really weird. To be, you know, gone 2 or 3 days a week, playing gigs, and come back and go to work the next morning, just be kind of like a normal life dude. But, and you kind of have to, like, I guess there's a point at which, like, Adam, did you mention JJ Gray on here already?
Mm-mm.
So we opened for JJ Gray and Mofro, which is a fairly regional, if not national, act, and they got paid, their band got paid $30,000 to play, and we got paid $1,000. And so there's this...
After haggling.
Right, after haggling. And so there's this kind of line, fine line, where you're kind of like, you can't quit your day job, you know? Like, yeah, you have to go... Say,
that's not a fine line there. That's a pretty thick line between getting paid $30,000 for a gig and getting paid $1,000 for a gig.
No. Yeah. But the separation is not that much. Like, they're a good band, but
But you're saying, like, your head that you're just, like, two steps behind them or something?
Maybe, I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's like you have to commit to doing that, sort of slogging through that, and still do your regular daily life stuff. And then it's like... That's the separation. It's like $30,000 or $1,000. It's not like you incrementally step up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you have to, until the ship, your ship comes in, as they say, or whatever, you have to keep doing it. So it's interesting. I don't know. I'm old now. Like, I've been old since we started the podcast.
Now, you've been old since we met you, man. We're like,
yeah, exactly.
We met you at your 40th birthday or something like that.
Yeah, so these dudes... So these dudes that I play with are younger than y'all were when we met, you know, and they like.
I'm pretty sure I was in my early 20s. So you're saying the father of the band.
Yeah, I'm kind of I try not to be, but yeah.
Can we get our gigs at 6:50 in the PM?
Preferably near Luby's.
I like to get my Luby's in, and then I'll play my favorite tunes, and then I like to get a nap in.
Exactly.
I mean, that's cool. I think we're kind of talking about this. You see this a lot, especially with all the comedy behind the scenes things recently. Like, to end the regular season in the NBA, there was a guy who's been playing in the D League or the G League now. They rebranded it. And he finally got a chance to play in the NBA. He got called up. He's like 32 years old, right? 32, 33? Yeah. Which is ancient in basketball years. But he got called up to the Lakers. He scored 19 points. And everybody was like, you know, it was great. Like, you were grinding down there for 11 years? Like, that's crazy. And they asked around on TNT. They're like, how long would you have, you know, grinded Charles Barkley? And he was like, 4. How about you, Shaq? And he was like, 2. And Kenny Smith said something like 5 or 6 or something like that, right? But certainly not 11. And that guy had to have, you know, like, because you don't get paid very much. You know, speaking of the Lions, you know, you get like 30 grand to play in the G League, which is not very much at all. It's like entry-level gig doing whatever. And, he, you know, he has a very unique skill, right, basketball player. And then, you know, like, I don't even know what the minimum salary is, but it's in the hundreds of thousands to play in the NBA. And he could have got a gig and, you know, played overseas and got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to play overseas. But he didn't, because he wanted a very specific version of his gig. He wanted to play in the NBA. And I think that for every story like that, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of stories of guys that grinded away in their sport in the minor leagues or in the, say, like, you know, lower division soccer, where they're playing for, you know, Shrewsbury Town, wherever, MK Dons or something, and even lower. And, you know, definitely baseball. You see all these minor leaguers in the independent leagues are like 35-year-old catcher. You're like, dude, you're not going to make the show. You're just hanging on to hang on here. And I think there's a lot of similarities between that and their stories and, you know, people hanging on to do music stuff. I think the thing they all have in common, people that make it, the people that are not just like overly talented, like, what, wow, this guy is just fucking, you know, talent, raw talent here. There's a little bit of luck and a lot of grind, you know. Comedians, the same kind of thing. They're just out there touring the middle of nowhere, playing the shittiest shit gigs, trying to own their craft. And, yeah, I mean, as long as you're willing to do it, that's cool, man.
That's the thing, is like, it is luck. Like, it's good. Our product is good. Like, it's objectively good and marketable, and the talent in the band and the personalities in the band are marketable. But there's still that factor of, like, does the right person hear us who wants to do that? You know, like, what I'm saying? Yeah. And and so for me, it's like, I'm willing to work at it and put effort into it, like, above just, like, having fun playing the gig, because other people in the band are willing to do that, too, you know?
Like, you're encouraged by everybody else's enthusiasm, and then also the product. Yeah, that makes it.
Right. The love of it is why I do it, because it's fun. Yeah. It's fun regardless of whether we make it big or not. You know,
I think I think you have to have that. I was talking with people at work about this. I think, you know, like, for those of us who, like, say, love basketball, right? There's a bunch of us at work who love basketball, but, you know, we clearly saw the writing on the wall way back when we were like middle school. We're like, I'm not so good. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be a world-class athlete, and this is not going to be a career for me. But even if we loved it and also had the talent, there comes a point where it becomes a job and it becomes a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think the people that are special are the ones that can power through that. It's funny, I was reading a Kobe Bryant tweet where he was saying that he wakes up at 3. When he was playing, he woke up at 3. Worked out from 4 to 6, got breakfast, worked out from 8 to 11, got lunch, worked out from 1 to 4, got dinner, worked out one more time, and then, you know, spent the evening or whatever like that. And, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but that's also what you have to do to play for 20 years in the NBA, is, you know, go shoot jumpers for 2 hours, you know, every morning at 4 in the morning. And that, I'm sure a lot of time it wasn't fun, but you know, he got up and did it. I don't know. What's the equivalent musically? Do you get up and play scales?
Yeah. I mean, that's what people do. I mean, In a rock band, it's a little different, but yeah. But in you a classical,
more drugs?
Like,
is that what it is?
Yeah. Drop more acid. But I have to practice now, and I didn't. You know, I've never really practiced for bands. I practiced for the funk band in Denton, but
wait, are you saying those shows that we went to, you just winged it? You just walked up there?
I had to practice for those. But there are a lot of bands, a lot of groups I played with where I cannot even know the songs. And they play it, and about a minute into the song, I know how to play it, you know? But these are songs that I have to like go back and refresh myself on, and actually some of it is because I don't want to be the weak link, you know, because these are good dudes I'm playing with, and yeah. They're in some ways, they don't even know how good they are, you know? But it's fun. It's fun. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It's a little weird being around young people, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel a little awkward, like, because everybody's like in their mid or early 20s and like partying, and they're like partying with me. I'm like, I'm too old to be doing, like, I need to go on the bus and just sleep, you know? But it's fun.
Yeah. That's how I felt when we were like, was it Regina, last couple of years in Denton, just looking out like I felt out of place being around all those young people. I'm like,
At least Denton has a strong graduate student culture, you know, yeah. Like.
Still though, man. I mean, you know, it's like, after what, you feel like you're aging out. Like, you feel like
sure.
More of a creep or something.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. Gina, what do you think? How long would you pursue a gig like that, a side gig?
As long as you enjoy it.
There. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense.
I have to say, though, I prefer to imagine that you joined the band more like Mark Wahlberg's character in Rockstar, and that they spotted you in the audience miming a mean keyboard. I like that better.
That's how it happened, actually.
Okay,
I was watching them play, and I was like pretending to play the keyboards, and they're like,
that guy hasn't missed a note all show.
Yes.
An imaginary note. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, a lot of people have side things, right? Like writing.
Side pieces is what they're called these days.
Yeah, I mean, not broads. But like actual like things, like, you know, fucking poetry or something. Does
hobbies.
Anybody write poetry still? Like I know. We have like a poet
not
laureate.
Not since I was 14.
I read a poem that I once wrote.
Does it hurt?
Was awful. It was awful.
Hurt
it was also
so
nice.
Bad.
Don't ever read any poetry or really any art that you produce in high school.
I agree with that.
It's totally.
It's bad.
Like, oh my god!
I've read lyrics of songs I wrote when I was in high school. I'm like, it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, I wrote a song in sixth grade. I still remember how that goes, and it's
not good.
It's like all of sixth.
You don't
words.
Want to share with the world. See, what's funny? I think the guys that wrote the I can't even think of their name. The song that
Two Princes.
No, the other guys are
your
like,
favorite song.
No, it's a.
I think you're thinking of Two Princes.
I'm going to find it, but they wrote the song when they were kids.
Two Princes.
It's not Two Princes.
Two Princes?
They wrote the song when they were kids.
Oh, you're talking about Silverchair.
Yeah, Silverchair. They wrote that song when they were kids, and, you
that's
know.
The band.
It's a good song. Everybody likes that song.
That's
it's,
not the
it's
song.
A hit they have. But they hate it. So they see it like the same way, but everybody else loved it. So imagine if everybody loved your awful song. You're just like,
they wanted you to keep
I'm so embarrassed by it. I don't like it. It's stupid. It doesn't represent me now. And they're like, no, but I love it. You know?
Yeah.
I only bring up poetry because I was reading some T.S. Eliot, right? I was like, I'm gonna give poetry another shot. And man, poetry sucks.
What is T.S. Eliot known for? What is his main good...
The Wasteland. Oh. It's like a long ass poem.
Yeah, don't read that shit, man. Read something accessible.
Yeah, if it goes on to the second page.
That's what I wanted. He wrote his stuff in the early 1900s, right? You know, 1920s.
That's not modern.
Well, Here's it. It's a classic. It's late.
It's old.
It's early modern, right?
It's old.
It's late classic. It's not, you know,
good.
Byron or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need like a thesaurus near me, and I don't need like an etymology book, and I don't need like, hey, look, when they said, you know, book back then, actually that meant something completely different. And I don't need that with me. You know, like pretty much 20s language, you know, means now I don't have to interpret and have a guy near me to, you know, to translate it. But it's, I don't know, man. I'm not a fan of poetry or poesy. I don't, did you, are you into poetry, Gina? Can you stand poetry?
No. I wanted to be. In high school, I wanted to be. And I read maybe one or two poems that were like, okay, that's all right. And then others where I was like, what? That's not what they were talking about.
Like, I just don't
Hills get it. Like white elephants.
That's a short story, but
anywho.
Anyway.
No, I'm not into poetry.
I don't get it, and it reads to me, they all read like terrible lyrics that somebody wrote when they were young and stupid. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not profound, buddy. Whatever, I don't know. That may be just me. I'm not saying it's just you. But
maybe me.
Let's just say I wouldn't indulge the poet laureate of America if I were president. Like,
what about slam poetry?
Is how I'm like Donald Trump, because I can't imagine that he's like appreciating it.
Do you prefer your poetry being slammed?
No, I fucking hate that too.
Does that get you into it?
No, I don't need it emphasized with gestures and things.
It doesn't excite you?
I am the man who's going today again. Yeah, I don't fucking need that. What? I don't need that.
Right either. On.
So have you written any songs for your band?
Not. No.
They were not good.
I doubt that I'll write any lyrics. I may contribute lyrics to a song, you know, in process, but I've written like music parts, you know.
So you've like written what? When you say you've contributed music, did you like?
Well, so the writing process in a band is more like somebody comes up with an idea and we all kind of jam on it. You know, that's how we're writing right now.
Like a riff? Like what riff have you come up with?
I'm not gonna. What do you want me to sing it to you?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. Like,
is you to like break it down analytically?
Sure. I mean, whatever you think is, you know, useful for the layperson. There's a guy in his cubicle right now. It's like waiting on you to give the answer.
No, it won't make any sense. It's because it's part of it. It's like the sum is whole is greater than this. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and so.
So it's like a bam, bam, bam.
Well, like, okay, if you listen to the album, like, everything I play, nobody was like, hey, play this part, you know? Like, it was all my poems. Oh, yeah. Okay. That wrote. So
you need an editor is what you're saying.
Maybe. I just, like, I doubt that I'll be writing any lyrics. I will probably contribute mostly to, like, form and structure of songs and, like, the flow of how things go. But Shelby, the guitar player, the lead guitar player, is very naturally talented, very brilliant dude, and I think we'll probably write some fairly unnecessarily complex music together. So
that's cool. I think I don't know. This just popped in. I saw that we put it in our links chat here. This thing by Jeff Bezos. I think you don't have to talk about it. It just popped into my brain. You guys, you know,
we'll check out
this this whole thing where everybody's like, we're talking about like what it's necessary to make a good product, right? It reminded me of this thing that he wrote. They don't do presentations; they write like 6-page narratives at Amazon, right? That's how they do it. Nobody stands up with a PowerPoint. It says, all right, well, look at this chart. You can see that we've been productive in our department, whatever. And I was like, wow, that sounds great, because pretty much every company that I've worked for has PowerPoint presentation time, and it's awful. And then he talks about how they asked him, like, how do you maintain your quality there? And he's like, well, a lot of times you can just kind of see it. Like, they'll see that it's pretty terrible. And it's usually because they don't give themselves enough time to do it, right? They'll think they can write a 6-page narrative in, you know, a couple days, when really you need a couple weeks, right? Like maybe a week or two to write it, get some feedback, you know, do the whole thing. And, you know, that just reminds me of how anything worth doing takes time. And that's frustrating. I mean, it's very frustrating. Everybody wants to be like, I'll learn it in 2 weeks and knock it out, right? But you can't, like, you know, like, unless you're just preternaturally gifted, it's going to take some time. And even the gifted, the amazing people, like, we're, you know, Gina, you and I were talking about this, right? Like, Lionel Messi, the greatest soccer player in the world, spent his youth at La Masia, where he perfected his one-touch and two-touch passing and all the skills. He's just so great that he can take those one-touch and two-touch passing and do more with it than some other guy who had the same training and just didn't have the talent to, you know, beat world-class defenders or see the pass that only Messi can see. It's like, he can see it, and he can do it. You know, other guys could see it, and they're like, I can't really do that, you know? And then beyond that, Messi can see something that nobody else could see, and then he can execute that. Now everybody's like, what? I didn't even know that was a pass able to be made. And, I mean, you know, that I think that could be – that's, like, liberating in some ways. You're like, hey, if I just give the right amount of time and effort to a task, I will improve. And, you know, no doubt everybody listening to this or even talking on this podcast has experienced some of that, right? You're like, hey, well, you know, I can do it now, right? I was trying to teach myself piano, and, like, at first I was like, everything seems stupid. But now I'm like, oh, I know where I could just – my brain says, you know – do a C chord, and my hand just does it now, whereas before I was like, okay, I think it's thumb here, index finger here, you know, it just, you know, all of a sudden, like day three, I'm like, oh, I could just do it without even looking at it. And you can see how just more practice, more time would mean you could go on to advanced concepts. But I'm not, you know, just like super gifted where I could just be like, you know what, here's a sonata, you know what I mean, amazing just skill where I can just, the music flows through me. So, you know, it could be, you know, frustrating, that rule. And it also could be, like, freeing. You know, I can do anything within reason to a certain extent. Right. I could do anything to a point, you know what I mean? But I can't, I'm probably not the best at it.
I mean, you know the term sonata. That's impressive.
Is it? Because I don't know exactly what a sonata is. I just know that some of the tracks from the music that I listen to say sonata.
Sonata. That's his first step. That's the first step.
No, but it is that, you know, I get that, you know, from her kid where she'll just say stuff. She's like, look, a plane, airplane right there. Right? And like,
yeah.
Does she know all the parts of speech? Does she know that she's saying, you know, like, hey, it's like an interjection. A plane, indicating location. Okay. Like, does she know right there? She just knows that she's repeating stuff. I say, hey, look, right there. You see it? It's right there. And she says it to us. I mean, but that's, you know. Am I being inspired by my kid? Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
No. Did you get anything from that, Gina?
No. Something about freedom.
That George Michael song, right?
Yeah.
How's that go again?
Freedom.
Is that what you got?
I mean, that's the gist of it, right?
Not the George Michaelist fans here.
Great lyrics, that one.
Yeah.
I guess. Did you listen to the Prince video of him doing Nothing Compares to You?
I did.
Del, did you listen to it?
I did not.
Gina, what are your thoughts on it? Everybody was talking about it. Let's get your thoughts now.
Is that right?
2-3 weeks later.
Who is everybody?
The internet.
Adam's internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his internet contains Kobe Bryant. I didn't even know he was on Twitter. It was all right. I mean, you shared the link with me, and I thought when I first saw it, I'm pretty sure I've heard him sing this before, but I think I could just imagine it because it just seems like the kind of song that I could imagine him singing, and he wrote it. So, I don't know. Everybody was saying it was so amazing, his version, but I don't know about all that. It was fine. just sounds the way that song goes to me. Except he wasn't Sinead O'Connor.
Like, I mean, I think in previous episodes of this podcast, again, you don't have to go back and listen to them, but I said that I don't really get what is so impressive about David Bowie or David Bowie, any of the people. I'm unmoved by any of his music and any of his costumes. Like, the whole thing. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm like, I think David Bowie sounds bad when he sings. Like, my ears don't want to hear that. I'm like, you just sound terrible. Prince, it's different. I think Prince sounds good. I think some of his songs are catchy. But I'm not enraptured by his music. I'm just like, okay, that's good. Like, I can appreciate how good he is technically. And it's like the same way as, like, James Harden is a good basketball player. He's effective. He's efficient. I don't like watching him play. It doesn't make me want to go out and play basketball. I watch Chris Paul. Yeah, it makes me want to go out and play basketball. I watch LeBron James. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell is a rookie. Yeah. I like watching him play. James Harden, no. I don't want to watch James Harden play. And so, I mean, I don't know. I think some of that has to do with my reaction to that song. I thought it was good. I think it's an okay song. I think it's a weird song. Like, the lyrics sound weird to me. But, you know, whatever. Del, since you haven't listened to the song, maybe you could just tell us what you think about Prince.
Prince was a brilliant musician. He was super talented. Mm-hmm. I don't care for his music that much, but he played on George Harrison's, there's a DVD like concert remembering George Harrison.
Yeah.
And he plays the solo on My Guitar Gently Weeps and
he kills it,
destroys it. Like, the best, unequivocally, like, unbelievable solo, and just destroys it. And so he's undeniably talented, to use another un prefix, but I just don't like listening to his music that much.
Yeah, same thing. I don't know what it is. I don't. Gina, do you like it?
No.
Like the little short guys?
I mean, it's like Tina Fey. Like, she's a great writer, but I don't want to see her be funny. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, a lot of it has to do with the time period where everything produced musically has this like sheen, this 80s sheen on it. It's like overproduced.
Yeah.
And he's a product of that too, and that's one of the things that probably rubs me the wrong way. But yeah, I think there are super talented musicians who are just
like just musicians that are not your style, though. I mean, I get it. I don't hate Prince. I can listen to some Prince songs. Some of them are good. But I don't love them the way a lot of people do. They're like, oh, I got to go see Prince, right? I just needed to hear it. Or this song is amazing because it was Prince. It doesn't mean much to me, you know? Like, I can appreciate it, but I don't love it. It doesn't fool me. It doesn't move me. I think there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to love Prince. It's probably good if you don't. We don't all worship Prince now that he's dead, right? We're not like, oh, well, now you have to love him. No, 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 I love him. No, 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 I love everything that he's doing. Like, all right, just calm down. Was it really all that great? Was every song that great? Little Red Corvette, is that the greatest song ever? No, it's not. It's okay. It's
pretty good. It is. I mean, that's what we said. That's what we study in music theory. That's like the secret. That's how you get your doctorate is... You recognize that song is the greatest song ever, and they're like, "Yes, you finally have seen the light.
You've done it. You've done it. You've cracked music." So speaking of music, in the course of my self study, right? So I'm like, okay, I want to learn piano. All right, you learn the chords. There's the major chords, right? I guess C, right? Then there's like the other chords. There's like D minor, whatever, there's like a minor, there's all these other things, and they're like, all right, there's like that fucking wheel or whatever,
the circle of fifths,
circle of fifths. And they're like, how is like an A minor, that's not actually the same, like, you know, because like it's blah blah blah, you play them all in together, all in concert, your ear's here in the other one, you know, so like you're waiting for the F sharp or whatever in hell. It's not, even though it looks the same as like a C minor chord, it's not the same because it's, but whatever. Okay. All that sounds real confusing to me. And I'm just kind of jumbling up. I'm trying to half remembering some of the things I saw. All that sounds kind of confusing. And maybe just like overly complicated. Then you have like the other videos that are like, look, every song you play, any pop song, it's like 2, 4, 5, right? It's right here. This is 1. So then you move your hand over. That's 2. Then just 2 is like 4 and then 5. It's the same thing. Those chords, same thing. I don't know. Where do you fall on all that? And how many YouTube videos do you have teaching people music?
I never made a YouTube video to teach people music. That's a good question for me, because for me, there's always been like this divide between performance of music and like intellectual understanding of music. And they don't necessarily correlate that much. Like, it's helpful for me to know some basic theory stuff, because I can play most pop songs because they all follow the same pattern. And if I know what key they're in, I can kind of guess at what the chords are going to be and get pretty much it. But intellectually...
So what is that 2-4-5 again? Like, can you explain that to me?
2-5-1, probably.
Whatever. Yeah, same.
Or like 2-5-1.
I don't know. They're all the same to me.
So if you think of music as like a progression from rest to tension to rest again, then 1, tonic, the key that it's in is kind of like this resting point, this home base. And then the 2 is not home, but it's not that tension filled. But the elements of the chord that's 5, is kind of like the farthest away from 1 as you can get. And so it creates a lot of tension and the need to resolve, the need to return back home. So the higher the tension, the more the pull back to home is. And that's how music works, except that pop music thwarts that a lot of times by avoiding any sense of, you'll have a lot of pop songs that don't ever have 5. And so they avoid this tension. Instead, it just feels like everything's kind of like real even. And the tension actually comes from like rhythmic changes in pop music a lot of times.
And there's a whole lot of people that like play around with that, right? Because of our expectation, like we expect it to do that, and then
right.
So they subvert that expectation, and then that
right. creates there's a whole something thing. Called a deceptive cadence that's like you expect to go to 1, but it goes to 6 instead, and it feels like, yeah, the rug's pulled out from under you, or the wool's, you know, pulled over your eyes or whatever. So, yep.
Interesting.
Totally interesting, yep.
Speaking of interesting, Jenna.
Now we're all music theorists.
Sweet.
Pretty much. That's it.
It didn't cost $150,000.
Y'all just got that done. For free.
Done. Yeah,
free.
Jenna, you're pregnant. How's that going for you?
I am.
Pregnant?
And another person takes my announcement. Yeah, I am pregnant. I've been pregnant since December of 2017, and I'm due to birth a child person in August of this year.
Who was the first person to take your announcement?
Del. And today, you.
I'm sorry.
All right, all right, so for all the people that care out there, I guess.
That's why we haven't podcasted for 5 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been just, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I was like,
I'm just
going to
go off and have this baby. Maybe come back later.
What is the difference between 1 and 2?
It's kind of a big difference. 2 is a lot easier because your body's been all stretched out of whack before internally. And so you don't feel as physically uncomfortable early on as you did the first time.
Yeah.
Like the first time when I was as big as I am right now, which is, you know, like 6 months along, it was a lot more uncomfortable. It felt, you know, my belly felt huge and tight, and it felt weird to move, and just to like roll from side to side in the bed felt like a big adventure. But now I'm like, you know, whatever. Sometimes you forget. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant.
Oh yeah, I can
Shouldn't drink all this beer.
Do you think that's the same sensation that somebody who's like skinny and then they get really fat and then they got skinny again and they gain weight back? Do you think that's the same thing?
Probably. I mean, similar to in the way that you've stretched your body and it's done that before. So, yeah.
Not that I'm not saying anything about your size or anything.
Yeah, you just called me big and fat. And you were big and fat, and then you weren't. Now you're big and fat again. So that's cool.
I mean, you know, like as a as like just an observer, third party here, I guess. I think it is hard because it's like with any new experience, right? It's everything about that experience is like of note, you know what I mean? And I think I always remember when I first got on the bus to middle school, it was kind of far away, it was a magnet school, and it seemed like it took forever, and I just remembered all the places we were going. I was like, man, this is far. And eventually by like my, you know, eighth grade year, it felt short, and I didn't even really notice too much about it, you know, because it's old hat by then, right? And I guess that's what happens in your pregnancy. I mean, it only makes sense. But I don't know. Do you feel kind of? I know I feel as a dad. I kind of feel like, oh, I should be as excited, but it's almost impossible to feel that way. Not only just because we already went through it, but the product of the first time, right? The kid is here, and it's the first time we've ever had a kid of whatever age, you know, the kid is at that time. So I'm trying to enjoy that and see all that at one time you know, be present and be mindful of it. And at the same time, also be excited about the pregnancy. Yeah. So if you are the second kid in sometime in the future and you're listening to this, I guess I love you 10% less, but I mean, it's not my fault.
Know that we found it hard to think about you.
Do you think that's like, that it starts to feel natural, the state of being pregnant, and that's what leads some people to like, basically be barefoot and pregnant over and over again?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
I don't see what shoes have to do with this, but
I mean,
it's a colloquialism.
You hear a lot of women say that the second time they're pregnant, they're so super busy chasing a toddler around that it's more exhausting and that kind of stuff. Like, you're just busy in a different way than you were the first time, which is true. You can't lay around and, you know, extra pamper yourself the way you did the first time. But it's also not necessary to, because your body's done it before, so it doesn't feel like you need that as much. I mean, not saying I don't get tired, because I definitely do, but, you know, I couldn't have handled chasing a toddler around the first time I was pregnant as easily as I can now, because I've been pregnant before. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, like, when all the doctors or whatever, the midwives are like, hey, so, do you have any questions or anything about it? What's going on? I'm like, how do you make sure you care enough? I feel like I'm not caring enough. I feel bad about it. Like, oh, it's natural.
And this is why second kids have so much trauma in their lives.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, I was saying this at the baseball game. We went to a minor league baseball game, which is 90% of the fun of going to a minor league baseball game is eating food. And I think because Gina is pregnant, that's why she puked 90% of that food time up. But I was telling somebody there, that's what I think the first kid gets experimented on, right? And so I think that is a good reason to keep around, that like first kid gets the inheritance. What is it? Primogeniture, whatever it's called, right? Mm-hmm. That's why. Like, here's your, it's like a fee. Like, we experimented
payment
on you.
For, like, like, you had to take all this shit.
We were inexperienced parents.
Yeah, but in some ways,
we maybe gave you some things that weren't good for you.
You were a better parent. You were more cautious. You ate all the right foods. You served them all the right foods. Bought the safest.
That's assuming a lot of care and a lot of
products. And then the second kid, you're like, that broken car seat still holds him in, right? We'll use that.
What do you have to say about this? Speaking to the mic.
Speak to the mic.
All right, there you go. You heard it from the first kid.
So yeah, now we're nearing crunch time. This is the part where I have to get ready.
What is involved?
Hopefully, we don't have an episode like we did 2 years ago.
What's involved in getting ready for pregnancy? Like, how are you approaching this?
You know, you just want to prepare your body. You know, you want to stay limber and stretch. You want to open those hips, and I'm going to sit on my stability ball instead of the couch. I'm just basically be uncomfortable a lot more.
Isn't that life, right? It's like, I want to get ready for a marathon. What do? I'd be uncomfortable for like
8 weeks. Only sleep on your left side because that's like better flow to your heart and the baby and stuff. And it like helps keep them in a good position, supposedly, you want by the time it's time for them to come out. So,
do you feel pressure as a woman?
No.
To give like birth the right way or to have a successful birth? I don't know. What's society telling you now? Like, you got to be beautiful and all this other stuff. But
I don't. I don't know if it's like society is definitely not putting that pressure on me. Society says, get that epidural, girlfriend. And if you need a cesarean, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I'm more like, you know, if I have a poop shoot, I want to take a poop. Like, I don't want it to come out.
Go get that on a shirt.
I don't want the colostomy bag if I don't need it. You see where I'm going with this,
guys? I see where you're going. Yes.
I don't think I needed that metaphor.
Do you need a poop purse? No, you don't need a poop purse.
Yeah, I would like to. I want things to be in working order. You know?
When and if, I guess, or if I get a colostomy bag, I'm going to call it my poop purse. And I demand that every one of you call
it. I'll call it that.
I'm going to punch your poop purse.
That seems gross.
And run away. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me.
That's interesting. I think it's. I don't know. I think it's all of at one time it's like natural. It is, you're literally built to do it, right? But then so much can go wrong, or so much can be non-standard. That's a lot scary, you know. I think that humans are fragile, and that, you know, it's amazing that any of us live at all to any age. Or do anything. Like, you just think about so many things that can go wrong. Like, any disease that can happen. It's like, oh, their bones are fragile and they actually don't work. Or the brain didn't develop all the way. Or the spinal cord didn't, you know. It's like, so many things could happen. And do happen. That it is amazing that anybody can live to 10 years old. I mean, it's incredible. And so, that whole process where, you know, like, oh, you know, we're going to just have a sperm. It's going to fertilize an egg. That egg's going to grow over 9 months into a proto-human and come out. And then we're going to care for it. And it's going to grow up. And then eventually it will go off and disappoint us and say that we're ruining their lives. And that is a successful process there. Like, sweet. The kid took the keys, drank a beer earlier than we wanted it to drink. And, you know, said that we're ruining its life. And we feel good about that. Like, all that seems like a miracle, but yet it isn't, because there's 7 billion people on this planet. It happens
pretty standard
in almost every circumstance imaginable, in cold climates and hot climates, in poor countries and rich countries, and all everything in between. It's like, any way that I feel about it, and I guess that the way you feel about it seems silly, you know, because it happens so often, but then it seems justified because it's so fragile. I don't know. How do you reconcile all that, Gina? Just
yeah. I can't imagine a better response.
I think that's the appropriate response, because I mean, you know, like, it's like, I think sometimes when you think about that stuff, and I think that is part that makes us all human. But then it's also kind of silly, you know, like, you just think about just nature and just life just happening. Like, it just does what it does.
Yep. Like, ultimately, however it goes, it doesn't matter, as long as baby comes out healthy and I don't die. But if our listeners listened back 2 years ago when our first kid was born, then they know how that went. then it might be kind of interesting to listen 3.5 months from now and see what happened the second time.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Yep. I think other people listen to it. I think my mom listened to it. And she was like, oh, I can't believe you said that. I was like, it was the truth, Ma. It's only the truth for our listeners, Ma.
I think it's hard truth.
Yeah. Oh, the hard facts on Deranged Penguin, Ma. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Deranged Penguin podcast. You can and you will find us on iTunes and derangedpenguin.com. Penguin with a W. PENGWIN.
We have a website?
I think we do. We should all check it out.
I should check it out.
Check it out. Good stuff, guys. And Dell's going to sign us off with one of his songs. Go ahead, hum the tune to the first track
in your
guys'
album.
Hum the
whole song, Dell.
Ready to go. How's it go?
The first song? First song?
Yeah.
I can't even think of what it is right
Get
now.
Get your spoons out, Dell.
Da, 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 da.
That's not how it goes.
That is how it goes.
Do it again. Ready? We're going to isolate your track. Ready? Is that how it goes? I think that's
already which of the girls are you?
I used to be the one with the really long hair.
Yeah.
Sweet.
She was the cute one.
She was cute.